and is in the one and wonderful hope which we share. It is good to be with you this afternoon around the emblems upon the table and the open Spirit Word. By way of exhortation, I'd like us to consider together some of the wonderful exhortations that we see from the prophecy of Ezekiel. So will you please turn there with me to the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 12. And as we know, Ezekiel, these words were penned 11 years before the fall of Jerusalem. This was a man, a prophet in exile, speaking to the children of Israel in the land of Babylon at this time. And we see wonderful parallels with these exhortations that went forth from Ezekiel to the exhortations that we ourselves should take to our own hearts in these latter days. What, brothers and sisters, was Ezekiel's message to the people? He's preaching to the children of Israel was the imminent fall of Jerusalem. And they treated him with derision and scoffing. This was this wonderful man Ezekiel who went forth to be an ensign to the nations, yet his own people laughed in his face. Please turn with me, if you will, to chapter 2 for introduction. Yahweh, the God of Israel, had warned Ezekiel at the outset that his life would be one of hardship and persecution. And we ourselves, brothers and sisters, should be strengthened by these words. Chapter 2 and verse 1 for introduction. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up upon thy feet. What an exhortation to us all, brothers and sisters, to stand upright as Job did. And I will speak unto thee. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me unto this very day. A very personal message from the Father. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there have been a prophet among them. What an exhortation to this young man Ezekiel. And verse 1 of chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I have given thee. Then I, Ezekiel, did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And the parallels here with the Apostle John and the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 10, where he sees the outpouring work of the rainbow angel. And he is given a book by the strong angel to eat, to be associated with these things, to have affinity with Yahweh, God of Israel, and his judgments which would be upon the nation of Israel. And here we see Ezekiel paralleling that man, John. And these things were sweet as honey in his belly. There was that wonderful encouragement that he had, that he was the servant of the living God, selected, foreordained, predestinated as Jeremiah. But that work was to be a hard work. It was to be a work of persecution and affliction. So we come to chapter 12, the chapter which we've had read for our middle reading. And brothers and sisters, by way of exhortation, let us consider the warnings of Israel by this man Ezekiel. And in light of this past week, this has particular relevance to us this day. Here we see Ezekiel acting out a prophecy of judgment that would fall upon Judah. And Ezekiel in these actions was portraying the man of exile, reminding the children of Israel, as they were in Babylon, of where they had come from. They had come from Jerusalem. Yet there were still those that were left in Jerusalem. And Ezekiel is speaking of the history of coming out of that land in exile for those 70 years prophesied by Jeremiah, but spoke also of a judgment to come. And we read in verse 1, brothers and sisters, the word of Yahweh also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. We've seen that term before, haven't we, in chapter 2 and 3. Which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. and sisters. This is the Ecclesia. And they are described as not a holy and separate house. They are described as a rebellious house. And it was with great sadness that these words were spoken by Ezekiel. What of us? This was the Ecclesia. Can we be described as a rebellious house? Well, those things that describe a rebellious house are given to us in verse 2. Are we those, brethren and sisters, who have eyes, but we see not? Are we those that have ears, but we hear not? And there's a wonderful play of words by this prophecy. That word eye in the Hebrew, brethren and sisters, is the word ayin. It's the physical eye. By definition, it's the organ of sight. That word ear is the Hebrew word ozan. It is the physical ear. It is the organ of hearing. So here the words are describing that which is physical, that which is natural. Very different to the word see and hear. That word see is the Hebrew word ra'ay. It is to look at. It is to inspect. It is to perceive. It is to consider. It is those spiritual qualities which the eye does. It has the principle of holiness, brothers and sisters. That word hear in that verse is the word shamai. It is to hearken, listen and obey. Again, the spiritual qualities used by the ear. And here, brothers and sisters, we're seeing a process, aren't we? It's a process of time. It is a development of those senses which we have been given. The physical senses. Summarized by the apostle. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. No need to turn to it. But it's the same root word that's being used here. That which is physical is to manifest those things which are spiritual. And Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says, but strong meat, what is the meat? It's the meat of the word, belongeth to them that are of full age or mature. Even those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that word senses in the Greek gives the idea of those qualities which are attributed to the physical eye and the physical ear. Why, brothers and sisters? Why is these words describing the children of Israel, those things which they had in the flesh, yet those things which they had to manifest in the spirit? Why is the word physical being emphasized here? As we know, brothers and sisters, man was made in the image and the likeness of the Elohim. Right back in the Garden of Eden. We have been given those physical qualities that can demonstrate in our lives the covenant name, those things which are holy and separate to his name. Yet they did not. The natural eye and the natural ear can be exercised. The physical eye is capable of spiritual sight, of spiritual discernment. The physical ear is capable of spiritual enlightenment. Yet they did not. And as brethren and sisters waiting the imminent return of our dear Master, as our President has mentioned in his prayer, how do we do these things? We are told, aren't we? How were those senses exercised in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14? The apostle says to eat upon the meat. How did Ezekiel manifest these things within his life? Because we read from Ezekiel chapter 3, he ate of the book. How absorbed are we in the word? How closely are we affiliated to the judgments that will be poured upon this earth? Particularly in light of the previous week that we have seen. These are wonderful things that we have been called to, brothers and sisters. Let us not forbear them. So what was Ezekiel commanded to do? They were barren. There was no spiritual qualities here. What was Ezekiel told to do to manifest in their sight? Verse 3, therefore thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, a stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall, Ezekiel, in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, thou shalt not see the ground, for I have set thee for a sign, an ensign, unto the house of Israel. Verse 3 says, prepare thee stuff for removing, remove by day in their sight. The Revised Standard Version says, prepare an exile's baggage and go into exile. He was to prepare a bag. He was demonstrating before the children of Israel that he was an exile, reminding them of when they came out of Jerusalem to Babylon. But notice, brothers and sisters, he was to act an exile in the day, before them, in their sight, in full view of the people of the captivity. And here we see the mercy of the Father. From chapters 1 to chapters 11, brothers and sisters, Ezekiel had been going forth with his mouth. He had been proclaiming the judgments that would be poured upon Jerusalem, yet they did not hear. So the Father used this vehicle, which was Ezekiel, and he provided another means. The means of action. Imagine the scene, brothers and sisters. For many years, Ezekiel in exile had been proclaiming aloud of these judgments. And now there's silence. Not a word was spoken in their sight. He had been constantly talking of the imminent destruction of Jerusalem, but no word was said. Action here is more powerful than words. And what was he commanded to do? He was told to prepare for himself an exile baggage during the day. He was told to move from one place to another. He was told in verse 5 to dig through a wall and go through it. He was told in verse 6 to cover his face so that he could not see the land. And as I said, Ezekiel here is reviving their memory of when they were exiles. And brothers and sisters, we are exiles. We look to a country which is from above. And this would have been a powerful exhortation to them. Yet this spoke of something far greater. A judgment which would be poured upon Judah in 5 years' time. Notice, brothers and sisters, that they are described as a people who had eyes to see and they saw not, that they had ears to hear and they heard not. They couldn't see nothing. They were given eyes and they could not see anything. They observed nothing. They understood nothing. Look at how the Spirit words emphasize how these things were done in their sight. Notice, verse 3. Ezekiel was told to remove by day in their sight, from the place to another place in their sight. Then, verse 4, shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight. End of verse 4, go forth at even in their sight. Verse 5, dig thou through the wall in their sight. Verse 6, in their sight shalt thou hear, bear it upon thy shoulders. And that sight is where the exhortation is. Because that word sight in the Hebrew is the word ayin, which is the same word as the physical word I in verse 2. God was giving them no excuse. They would observe these things. They would see it with their own eyes in the actions of Ezekiel. Why? In an attempt so that they would consider in verse 3. And that word consider is the word raya. And it's the same word as the word see in verse 2. So even though they had no eyes and they could not see, God provides for them eyes in the form of Ezekiel and his actions before them so that they would see. What a merciful Father we have, brothers and sisters. That they would perceive and consider with their minds and hearts. And when we consider the events of the last week, brothers and sisters, we realize that God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, as Daniel says. God has given us eyes so that we will see. That we will see this vision. How clear does that vision have to be, brothers and sisters, for us to change our ways? And what a merciful Father we have here. They had no eyes, they had no ears. Yet the Father mercifully extended to them those organs which were totally inactive in their lives. And we see the mercy extended to His people and those that He has foreordained and selected for His purpose. But these events of Ezekiel were not just reminding them of coming out of Jerusalem. They spoke of the judgment which would be upon the house of Israel. It spoke of royalty and the judgment upon Zedekiah. Zedekiah, who was described as the profane, wicked prince of Israel. And here we see the sure word of prophecy, verse 9 of this chapter. Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what dost thou? Say thou unto them. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, this burden concerneth the prince, Zedekiah, in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. So this burden that he carried as he went through the war, the burden that he carried upon his shoulders, spoke of Zedekiah, the wicked, profane king of Israel. And notice the accuracy of the word of God. Verse 11, say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them, that they remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight. This is the parable, brothers and sisters. Here we see Ezekiel speaking to the children of Israel, and he is telling them exactly what he did before them. It is the interpretation of his acts. The first parable. Shall bear upon his shoulders in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, and he shall not see the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Brothers and sisters, Ezekiel is prophesying those things which would concern Zedekiah in 5 years' time. Please turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 25. And this chapter is that chapter which concerns Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, coming against Zedekiah with his fortified city down in the south of Jerusalem. Bearing in mind those words which have been read of that wicked, profane king. 2 Kings 25 and verse 1 for introduction. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his post, against Jerusalem. So this is that time where Jerusalem falls, when they all go into bondage. Against Jerusalem, and he pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. We have a fortified city of Zedekiah. Verse 4. And the city was broken up. And remember those words which we've just read in Ezekiel. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about. And the king went the way towards the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters to brass, and carried him to Babylon. What sure word of prophecy that we have. Remember in Ezekiel 12 and verse 12, where it says, the prince shall bear his shoulders in the twilight. And that word twilight in the Hebrew is the word darkness. And here we see in verse 4 of this chapter that Zedekiah and his men fled by night. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 12, they shall dig through the wall to carry out their bile. And we recall the actions of Ezekiel. What did these actions speak of? We read again in verse 4 that it records that Zedekiah and his men escaped through the gate between the two walls by the king's garden. And how did he escape through this, brothers and sisters, when we read that the Chaldees were there in armour, defending the wall? Yet he escaped. He dug through the wall. Verse 12 again of Ezekiel 12 says, he shall cover his face, that he shall not see the ground with his eyes. Verse 13, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. Zedekiah, having escaped from the city of Jerusalem, he was captured. He was brought to Riblah. And he says in Ezekiel 12 that he would not see Babylon. And what happened to this man? He saw his entire dynasty removed in his sight. His children were slaughtered before his eyes at Riblah. And then his eyes were removed and he was taken to Babylon in chains. He never saw Babylon. That is the sure word of prophecy, brothers and sisters. We question these words at our peril. They have been given for our enlightenment and our edification. A chosen people prepared to see our Master. Going back to Ezekiel in chapter 12, we see the second parable of Ezekiel. No longer an exile now, carrying his baggage. We see those things which will be consummated within the land. Verse 17, moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness. This parable was foretelling the utter destruction of Jerusalem and those 70 years of darkness, when the walls of Jerusalem would be burned down to the ground. And they didn't understand the law. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 31 to 33 foretells that this would be the case, that there would be the utter desolation of Jerusalem. Yet what did the children of Israel do at this time? They thought the worst had come. They listened to the words of Hananiah within the camp. And what did Hananiah preach, brothers and sisters? He preached that they would return to Jerusalem in 2 years. Yet Ezekiel taught that it would be 70 years. They had ears, didn't they? But they only listened to those things which they wanted to listen to. There were false prophets in the camp. Let us defend against those, brothers and sisters. And they then were to eat bread with quaking. And they certainly would. When they were taken in fetters to Babylon, this was a very accurate portrayal of their situation at that time. These things were done by a man who associated his life with the judgments that would be poured upon Jerusalem when he consumed of that role in Ezekiel chapter 3. You imagine this situation, brothers and sisters, a prophet called by Yahweh, going forth into the land, trying to associate himself with their situation. And what was the response of the ecclesia? What is our response, brothers and sisters, to the sure word of prophecy? Verse 22. Son of man. Verse 21 for connection. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged and every vision faileth? This is a song that the ecclesia sung. The attitude of every age and the outworking of God's purpose. We recall men who found grace in the sight of God, such as Noah, who preached the impending judgments upon this earth for 120 years. And they all cried out in unison, The days are prolonged. The Olivet Prophecy, concerning those words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us of the Mosaic Age which was to be fulfilled in the time of AD 70. And the Olivet Prophecy and the evil servant who says in his heart in Matthew 24 and verse 48, my Lord delayeth his coming. Brothers and sisters, we have no excuse. No excuse with those things that we see in the earth today. That vision will not be prolonged. They should have believed the words of Ezekiel, brothers and sisters. But they all cried out the words of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. Prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. They wanted those things prophesied to them that were smooth to the ear and easy on the tongue. And if we do these things, brothers and sisters, we also will face the judgments of the God Almighty. The song which was sung within the ecclesia, what a situation you have here. There they are in captivity, realizing the judgments that were being outpoured within the nation of Israel, prophesied by Moses in the Pentateuch, and yet they had a song within the ecclesia saying, the vision is prolonged. What a dire situation you have here. How does the Father respond to this? Verse 23. Till them, therefore, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, I will make this proverb to cease. He was to remove them within the ecclesia. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, a new song, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. That should be our cry, brothers and sisters. The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Verse 24, for there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel, for I am Yahweh. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. The definitive term. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, what an exhortation to us. O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith Adonai Yahweh. The proverbs were to cease. How? The false prophets were to be removed. What an exhortation. We quibble with the scriptures at our peril, brothers and sisters. Notice verse 23, the days are at hand. Verse 25, in your days. And here we are, sat down as a separate people, understanding those things that have been revealed in the earth in its true perspective. What an exhortation. 2 Peter chapter 3, we know it so well, don't we? Warns of those who would say, where is the promise of his coming? Verse 4, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They describe them as the fathers. This is the ecclesia. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward. He certainly is. Not willing that any should perish, but they should come to repentance. But the word of warning in 2 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night to the ecclesia. These things should not be. Verse 27. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesied of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith Adonai Yahweh. The vision that he seeth in verse 27 will no longer be afar off. Brothers and sisters, we who live by sight now, no longer faith, we see the developments in Jerusalem and the tension that is now there. We see how those events could quite easily come to that situation described in Zechariah 14, where the houses are rifled and the women are ravished. We see the image of Daniel 2 standing up strong, the east and the west leg. We see the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, who is certainly dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. We see the little horn who has the eyes like a man who speaks terrible things, who continues to speak against the Most High. We see those events which are talking about the full consummation of that sixth vial in Revelation chapter 16 and the drying up of the Euphrates. And with expectation we see the King of the North coming down to the mountains of Israel. We see in the earth the mouth of the beast, the false prophet and the dragon. And from the last week we see how easy global issues can be created in just moments, involving all the great nations upon the earth at a moment. Yet in our hearts we sometimes say, in the comfort of our homes, in the comfort of our ecclesial halls, the vision is afar off. What an exhortation we have here. These are the reasons why these events have been penned down for our learning and for our instruction. But let us realize without any hesitancy that these things will be accomplished with a great certainty, with or without us. As Brother Thomas says, it's God manifestation, human, not human salvation. With or without us, brethren and sisters, we have been caught up in a creative process. And let us remind ourselves, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith Adonai Yahweh. God never fails. He never has. He never will. And as our president mentioned in his prayer, this is our day of opportunity. Let us redeem the time. So with these lessons ringing loud in our ears, please turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 44. Remember those words, brothers and sisters, from the wise man in Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This is the vision, and it's not afar off. The vision we have here in these emblems, we have the vision of the kingdom. As the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 14 and verse 25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. This is the vision of victory. And there is no excuse. There is no reason why we should not have this vision burning brightly in our minds daily. That this vision should consume our homes, should consume our time, should consume our meditation. That wonderful vision of the kingdom with the consummation of the bride and groom. When the prince, which is described in those chapters of Ezekiel, not the wicked, profane prince of Zedekiah, but the beloved, the Messiah, Emmanuel, takes unto himself his bride. And here we see it, brothers and sisters. Chapter 44. The Prince in the Eastern Sanctuary. Verse 1. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh towards the east, and it was shut. Then said Yahweh unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it. Because Yahweh, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before Yahweh. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. As we partake of these emblems, these symbols of Christ, we question ourselves and ask, why a large room? Why a large sanctuary, brothers and sisters, on the eastern side of this temple, which shall be established? This is the vision. Why does Christ, the Prince, require a large room to eat bread before Yahweh? because it's full of the saints. It's full of every generation of men and women who have had that vision burning brightly in their minds. When the prince eats the bread before Yahweh, this is the time of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So as we eat of these emblems, this bread and wine, let us examine ourselves. And with those things that have occurred in the earth this last week, if we cannot sincerely see ourselves in verse 3, partaking of that bread with the prince, we must question ourselves and ask ourselves why.